gentlemen. Hello.
Hey, hey.
Hello.
Hey. What's up,
welcome,
John?
Welcome to the show, the Pop Go Project podcast.
We're excited to be here, buddy.
Yeah, it's dude. I can't. What is he, are you monkeying with the iPad Pro?
Yeah, we're good. Right?
iPad Pro.
Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah, we're really proud of the Pro part of that.
Yeah, yeah. I joke that all musicians come prepared with good microphones. It's funny, my audio quality is typically better than every musician that I interview, which is hilarious. That's
what
okay.
You got SM7?
Oh, no, this is like the small version. This is like the baby version.
Okay.
I don't even know. My wife got it for me for Christmas. She's like, oh, I said, I need to step it up. I need to step it up.
Well, you sound freaking glorious, by the way.
Fantastic. Yeah. That's the goal. So,
what do we sound like right now? Pretty distant.
No, I mean, actually, for how far away you guys are, it still sounds pretty good. I've interviewed a lot of bands who have been, you know, further away than you. I won't mention their names; they probably know who they are. It was difficult, but you know, it is what it is. We're living in a time where, you know, we live in an internet world, and it's fine. It's fine. Like, I wouldn't be doing this with you guys if it wasn't for the internet. So thank you. And we should probably say who you guys are. Feels Like Fire, the band. We'll call it a new band, quote unquote, new band. We'll get to that whole thing in a minute. But yeah, thanks for joining me across the internet on a Wednesday night at 9 p.m.
Thanks for having us, John.
Full disclosure. Pat, the drummer in this band, we go way back. This might be a reunion show for Pat and I. The last time he and I saw each other face to face was at my wedding, which was 9 years ago, and before that was at a beer fest. Maybe 6 years prior to that, I was hammered at both occasions, and I think Pat was sober at both. So, you know, it is what it is. But I mean, Pat and I used to live together, way back in the day. What's that?
The party mansion. There were so many homies living in that building.
Oh, dude, those are the days. Those are the days.
Three Bridges days?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was before. This was when we were living in Kingston before I moved to Harrisburg.
Okay.
How many apartments were in there?
There was four. There was four in that one, but then there was like an auxiliary one that some, you know, random people kind of, you know, came and went. And those were the days, man. You know, Pat lived downstairs at one point, and then he lived upstairs with me for a few months. And then the band he was in, I don't know if that fell apart, and then you kind of left. And we go way back. And I remember Pat, there was an apartment next to us that was vacant for the longest time, and Pat put his drum set in there and would practice. He would practice. Dude, like, that guy would practice nonstop. I'm like, this guy is dedicated. I love him. I love him. And we go way back.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. So I followed Pat forever. You know, he's been in, you know, he was in a, well, we'll get right into it. Like, so the current band Feels Like Fire was once called Bridges in a Bottle. And basically it's the same band minus one member. And I remember you guys back, it's like 2004. You guys came to Wilkes-Barre, PA. You play at the waterfront. Pat had you guys over at the apartments. I don't know if he was like, you know, making you guys or making us listen to some of your tunes that weren't released yet, because Kevin was downstairs too. I have a really great memory. Kevin had a room with like tarantulas and ferrets. I don't know if you guys can remember that far back or not, but I remember it very, very well. And so that night you guys play at the waterfront. And actually bought a CD. I had you guys sign it. I tried to find that CD in my CD collection, and I couldn't find it. I only gave myself like 15 minutes of time, and I couldn't find it. But I remember, oh, you guys, you're frozen. Hope you're, come back. Okay, you're back. I remember.
We're back.
You're back. I remember you guys, and I hear you guys, and I'm like, this fucking band is amazing. And I would, you know, I'm biased because I mean, I will support anything Pat does, but like, you guys were awesome. Had you guys on the CD, saw you guys out that night, and I followed Pat ever since he moved away. He was in the Underwater, He's probably been on in some other random things that I don't know about. But just recently, maybe a week or two ago, I saw him share something on Instagram. And I'm like, what is this? So I hit, the link, went to the song. I think it was, She's on Fire. Mm-hmm. And the minute the vocals kicked in, I'm like, that's the fucking guy from Bridges. Like, don't tell me, like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, actually, like, we've been in touch for a long time. We still make music together. We decided to do a new project. I'm like, this is amazing. I listened to some other tunes, and we'll get into those. My nipples got hard. That means it's good, in my opinion, for what that's worth.
I think that's a good sign, John. Yeah.
Dude, it's I have this gift, and Pat will tell you, I think. He'll tell you that I have an ear for what sounds good. I couldn't tell you the technical stuff about it, or anything like that, but I can kind of like, oh, that song's good. Like, push that song, or this is your next single, or whatever it might be. But with all that being said, Feels Like Fire, new band, released a new album late January, and here we are.
Hell yeah, man.
That's right. And boy, what a long journey it's been since Bridges 2004, man. My God. Yeah, I mean, that takes it back a long time. And that's pretty much, did you join Bridges in 2004?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was, it was right off the bat. It was right off the bat. Auditioned and we started playing shows like, ugh. It was not long after. I think we had maybe like two or three rehearsals and we were off and running.
Yeah.
Like, because you guys had stuff booked already. So like we were ready to go.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess long story short, you know, we did the whole Bridges thing, late 2000s, that kind of fizzled out. That's a whole long story that maybe we'll get into. Maybe we won't, you know. A couple years ago, we got together with my brother Adam, who was the other front guy in Bridges on a Bottle. We had two singers and songwriters, and we played a sort of reunion show for a buddy of ours whose dad passed away, J. Rob, who we all love.
Yeah.
Dad passed away, asked us to ask Bridges to do be a part of this reunion show, so we did it. We got together, played a show. It was freaking awesome. Felt great. Ben, this is Ben. Ben was not in Bridges back in the day. Ben was in a project with Tyler and I. Boy, that was even back in like 2017, yeah, 2018 that we did. We love Ben. You know, Ben's a great guy. Ben brings whiskey to everything. You know what I mean? And he can play every instrument. I mean, bass is he's incredible. But played that show. You're a great guy, buddy. We love you. He's also like 8 feet tall, so we have him sitting on the smallest seat possible right now.
I'm sitting on my seat right now.
He's kneeling.
But yeah, we played that show, and then COVID hit, and it changed the world. I mean, we got some things rolling, and we're like, look, I mean, we think we're going to start doing this again. My brother Adam was into it at the time, and COVID hit and changed the world and kind of knocked us off our feet a little bit. Didn't do anything for a couple of years. Fast forward to probably 2022, I guess, maybe something like that. And I called Tyler and I'm like, look, man, it's time to make a record. I have all these songs that I want to bring to the table. Do you want to make a record? Tyler is the guy who engineered the whole thing, produced it. And he's like, of course, I want to do it. I've got this room in a studio. We're in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania right now at a place called Rock Mill Studios. Tyler has a room here. Got these guys on board. They came on board, said they wanted to do it. So we started recording this record, this Feels Like Fire record, in 2022. And it took us that whole time basically to get everything the way that we wanted to do it, to narrow song list down and get it all done to the point where we released it in January of this year. Oh, yeah. You know?
Better late than never.
Yeah, but that's kind of the full story. I mean, the three of us, you know, our music relationship goes back a long, long time. And then Ben, it goes back still a long time, you know, almost 10 years with you too. So yeah, that brings us sort of to the present.
I love hearing that because, like, obviously, you know, being a band, as you guys know, is like a family. It's a relationship. It's, you know, sometimes people don't mix well, they kind of break up, and it's bad. It's a bad breakup, all that kind of stuff. And in fact, I had actually, texted Pat earlier tonight because I was like, where's the brother? What's he doing? Like, because mm-hmm. he's like, are you guys twins?
No, we're not twins, man. Wait. But everybody thinks that.
Okay, well, you guys, I remember.
I'm older than Adam is, but
I remember back in 2004, you guys looked very similar.
Yeah,
obviously your brothers, it makes sense, but eerily similar, like you were twins. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to bring up the brother. Like, God forbid there was inner turmoil with like actual family or band or something happened to him. Like, I was like, I don't want to bring it up and like, it'd be weird. Right. So I hit him up and I'm like, where's that?
It's not weird at all. There's no like secret story to it. It's really Adam actually sang backup vocals on She's on Fire. So he came in and he's helped us with some things, but you know, you progress in life a little bit, you get a little bit older, and like making a record is a big deal. It's a big, consumes a lot of time. It's a big commitment. And Adam just is involved in other things right now and just wasn't able to commit the way that the four of us were able to commit. That's really the whole story to it. You know, if he called tomorrow and was like, I'm in, I have time, we would probably be like, he's in Feels Like Fire, you know? So yeah, I mean that's really the whole story behind it.
No, that's great. I'm so glad you guys have been able to like continue working together over these years. Because like I said, back in 2004, I was like, these guys are really great, and I was kind of sad to see it fizzle out. If anyone's watching, listening to this, you can go stream the music on. I think it's on Apple Music. It's on some of it's on Spotify. I would encourage you to go listen to that because it's awesome. But I mean, talk about this new group. I know you've been working on this for 2 years. Talk about this new record. I'm not even going to try and say the name. You pronounced it for me before we started. And since then, I've been talking so much, I've forgotten how to say it.
all good. Amaranthin.
Amaranthins. So yeah, it's a new record. It's phenomenal. It's great tunes on it. You guys are pushing it hard. I see getting a lot of interaction, a lot of follows, a lot of everything. So talk about this new record.
You want me to start? I want, yeah. I mean, everybody, I guess I'd kind of like to hear everybody's take on it too, man, you know, but, so yeah, I mean, it really started with, look, I'm a songwriter. That's what I do. I mean, I play guitar, I play keyboards, I do different things, arrangements and stuff. But at the end of the day, I write songs. I need these guys to help me bring my songs to life. That's kind of been the history all the way back. I always have large amounts of songs. And for this record, we decided we wanted to make a record together. And then it was like, okay, what kind of record do we want to make? And I think we kind of all agree that we wanted it to be just a very, very sort of natural sounding rock record. It even leans a little Americana, I think, at times, you know.
Yeah.
But we didn't want to push it in any direction. We just kind of wanted to let the songs present for what they are. So we chose a group of songs that kind of seemed like they lived together really well and could live well on an album together. And we started getting together and working on pre-production and working through things, narrowing the song list down to the 10 that are on the record. And there was a lot of changes that involved throughout that whole process. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the beginning of it. I don't know, Tyler, you produced the whole thing. Why don't you kind of give your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, we never really stopped recording. Judd and I, we would do a single here and there, you know, throughout the past, 10, 15 years, whatever. But we never really had like a project that was, you know, anything that we were going to do.
Full length album worthy.
But like you said, he's a songwriter and he's got just tons and tons and tons of songs that are all great.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. and I'm a producer and it's, that's what we do together is create music. So it just made sense that where we're at in our lives right now to pull some of it together and put it out there. And it's the album is kind of what we sound like right now with a lot of whiskey in us. So it was a blast to make, you know. It's just like best friends hanging out on the weekend, drinking whiskey and making music
and just doing whatever the fuck we wanted to do, no rules, whatever. That's what we sound like right now. And I think it's pretty cool. You know, it's like you said, we sort of had an idea of what we wanted to do, and it came out a little different, but in a really pleasantly surprising way.
In the best way, the best non-planned way possible.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's cool because when you have like us four, we've been doing this, we've been making music in some capacity together for so long. It's so easy to get a group of us together and like, you have the basic song. You're like, okay, this is a song that's going to be included on the record. Everybody kind of puts their own. We discuss, we figure out how we want to kind of present it. Everybody, you know, Pat brings his drum mind to the equation. He puts his drum stamp on it, and amongst other things. But we'll start with drums. You know, Tyler's a guitar player, amongst other things. He puts his stamp on that. Ben bass and other things. Ben's playing trombone on some of these tracks and stuff. And like, you know, it's pretty effortless, really, to do it. And letting the music just kind of become what it should be is what we wanted to do.
I think we all have pretty different musical backgrounds and musical tastes, but there's a lot of overlap in that as well. Mm-hmm. And I think the sound is all of those influences effortlessly coming together between the four of us.
And I think a big thing about this record is that we took our time making it.
Yeah,
so each song we really let sit for a while and kind of marinate before adding parts to it or putting a final stamp on it. Like, all right, this one's done, let's move on to the next one. So there was everything was kind of evolving as we were making the record because we were constantly kind of listening to each song and kind of crafting it and changing it until everybody was happy with the way it sounded.
Yeah, John, if anybody could hear the overall amount of tracks that we actually recorded that didn't make it on the record, it'd be pretty interesting for people to hear that because we tried, you know, it was such a free experience where we tried basically anything we could think of, you know, and then you kind of get to a point, I guess, like close to the mixing process where you're like, okay, that is awesome, but it doesn't really fit into like what we're trying to achieve. But it'd be cool to somehow, maybe someday,
we have enough to do a whole remix.
Yeah.
There was a lot of like, what the fuck were we thinking with that? And hear that again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But there was several different versions of a lot of these songs that were kind of tossed around, didn't make it. But I think what you end up hearing is pretty authentic, you know.
And do you remember, like, we had a song called The Liar?
Mm-hmm.
We had a song called, She's Gone?
Yeah.
Remember those? Like, we were adamant about them being on the record, and then throughout the process of making it, you know.
That was the best part about it, though, is we didn't try. You know, things come out different when you're just doing it to do it for the love of it, mm-hmm. you know, and, like, each one of us loves making music and we have respect and love for each other. You know what I'm saying? Like we bring our own flavors, but we don't like, you know what I'm saying? We let each other do our things and it does work out best that way when you're not trying, you're not forcing a deadline or something like that. Like all of that was out of the equation and it was just such a pleasant experience.
Yeah, which is why it took us 2 years to the finish line.
So that, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think that's everything, right? Like every relationship, everything you do, like, I mean, the outcome, the end product, it always sounds better when there's no rush. There's no, there's no timeline. There's no like friction internally. There's just like, hey, like, let's just sit down. Let's do this. Let's kind of let the vibes flow. And I think that's what's really cool about music and people who work well together is just that's kind of it comes through truly in this album.
That's awesome, John. Thank you, man. Yeah, because you know, like Tyler was saying, we've been recording music. A lot of the stuff we've been doing, we've been we've been pushing through sort of licensing pipelines and things like that, where he and I will get together and okay, this company's looking for this type of song and we'll cut it. But that's a completely different thing than what we did with Feels Like Fire, which is just letting us, the four of us, naturally get in a room and make a real record together. And, oh my gosh, it's so much better this way, you know, than trying to force it down like a specific pipeline.
I remember when I was in high school, and the weekend would come and your musician friends would come over to your parents' house and you would just jam and make music. And like, this is kind of the first time it's felt like that since then.
Yeah,
it was true, that kind of experience where it's like, it was just us friends in a room on the weekend, mostly making music. And
Friday nights.
And it took me back to that place when I was young and really excited about like the possibilities of music and what it could be. And just like, it really is the first time that it's felt like that since it was like that, you know?
Yeah. So John, this was basically, I think we counted 45 nights that it took, and the nights meant like probably from like 6 o'clock to probably, you know, 2-3 a.m. something like that. It took us 45 of those, a lot of Friday nights, sometimes Saturdays or whatever, but it took us 45 sessions basically like that to cut everything. And then obviously mixing and sort of narrowing ideas and things from there. But yeah. Yeah.
Well, it becomes harder too, right? You're referencing high school and you're referencing now. Like, there's a lot that has happened in between those moments, right? Judd, I think I saw a ring on your finger in one of the videos, so I'm going to assume you're married. I know Pat, married, child. I don't know the status of the other Ben. Two guys.
Yep.
Ben's married. All right. Al is ready to go. Any listeners want a handsome guitar player or producer?
That's tight. Yeah. I guess I'm the newest married guy of the bunch. But that's the thing, man. I mean, you know, making music is really easy when you're young. You know, it's really, and we took full advantage of it. I mean, we that's what we did for a long time. As you get older and you kind of start entering like the second phase of life, I guess, you know, time becomes a lot harder to find to do this stuff. You know, Pat, me, Ben, we've got wives, we've got kids between us, and it becomes a lot more difficult to find the time to do it. Yeah,
it's tough. So it's like you have to make those moments meaningful, right? Like you have to like, okay, it's not like, oh, we can do this every Friday night. We can do this whenever we want to. It's like, okay, like we have time tonight. We're going to record and we're going to make the most of it, which also is cool. But also like now at this age too, it's like you've learned so much over the year. So I'm sure that comes through into your writing, the lyrics, the things you've learned, experiences, just such a more maturity to it all.
Yeah. And I'll say this too, like we have less opportunity to do it, but the opportunity that we get, it's very, very precious. But now if we're comparing to back in those days, we all have better gear.
Mm-hmm.
Ty's not mixing and engineering from his bedroom. You know what I'm saying? I'm not playing drums a half a foot away from him.
Well, there's also a lot of like musical maturity where we're not like overplaying and trying to impress each other with how great of a guitar player I am, or you know what it's like. That
make
maturity,
the part fit.
That maturity is like, you know, it's all about the song.
Yeah. I mean the whole what did they say, like the 10,000 hours of like, I mean, my gosh, like we have so many more than that.
We have lots of 10,000.
Yeah, we have many different sections of 10,000.
They weren't all productive, but we got a ton more than 10,000.
Well, Tyler, I think it's funny you mentioned overplaying, and this is not talking shit on Pat by any means. But Pat, is there ever a moment that you just can play the drums fucking chill? Like, dude. As long as I've known you, dude, as long as I've friggin' known you, dude, you've just been like the Travis Barker, like, just animal.
Hard on this record, he did, I gotta be honest.
I don't know, dude. I saw the video. There's a video for She's on Fire. And I don't know, dude. There's like, you still have, there's a little bit, like, if he didn't know you, like, oh, yeah, he's being chill. But like, I know you, I see you. I'm like, he's still playing hard.
Yeah, look, that's not gonna stop. My thing, but I'll play the part of someone who's not Travis Barker.
Yeah,
there you go.
Is your shirt staying on these days, Pat?
Yeah. What's that?
Is your shirt staying on these days?
Yes. Oh my God, I'm way more classy.
Oh, yeah, it depends on the day, I think, maybe.
Well, if it's hot.
Yeah. Bro, if I had your body at our age, I'd be fucking taking my shirt off too. I mean, I have dad bod 100%.
Nothing wrong with that, brother.
I think I always joke that I always blame my daughter, who was born in July of 2022. I literally gained, I think, like, I want to say 25 pounds in the first year of her existence. So I blame her, right? It's not that I'm in my 40s or eat like a raccoon or anything like that. It's the fact that she disrupts my sleep cycle.
Look, man, as you get older, it becomes a completely different freaking thing, man. Say, you know, when you're young in your 20s, I mean, the whole, all of Bridges in a Bottle was 20s, young 20s into like mid to maybe later 20s.
My pushing gosh. The limits of alcohol.
Yeah, we were just talking about this. Like, while we're sitting here waiting for this to start, you know, we would 4 or 5 times a week go hard, and be, you know, we'd have scheduled rehearsals or shows the next day or whatever. We'd all be good by lunchtime the next day, you know? And my gosh, is that a completely different world from the life we live today? It's, I mean, it's, but yeah.
Well, life change. The funny thing is, you guys have aged like a fine wine. And this is, I'm not hitting on you guys by any means. Happily married, 2 children. But all of you were handsome back then. Like, you know, early 2000s, long hair, like looking chill, like looking, you know, vests, all that kind of stuff. Like, these guys are handsome, right?
Yeah.
Now I'm like, you guys got better looking as you got on. Like you're great musicians. You look good. It's like, how is this happening? What is happening?
Dude, music is the fountain of youth, man. Come on, dude. Yeah. It's the look. Yeah, honestly though, that is, I honestly believe that. But I think I think about this sometimes, and when you're now, I'm not as deeply involved in music day to day as I was back then, not even close. Mm-hmm. But back in those days, it's like you almost enter a black hole. And you just go at the speed of freaking light, and you're just so tunnel focused, and music is what you do every single day. And I think, like, don't they say that, like, the quicker you move, that the like age, relative
age slower.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a real thing, man. I mean, we took a good 10 years in our 20s and just moved at the speed of light. Didn't really pay attention to the rest of the world around us. And I think that's the fountain of youth, man. I do.
You're supposed to, though. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah. But I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, thanks for the time. Needed that.
Well, I'm going to come in with this. Judd, I hope you don't take offense to it.
No.
I'm like, Judd looks like somebody. Who have you been told they look like? Have you recently been told anything?
Let me think. The latest. I was told recently that I look like, who told me recently I look like the guy from some show. I don't even remember. I'm anxious to hear what you have to say, John. What do you think?
Andrew Schultz.
Who's that?
Oh, the comedian.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically in the She's on Fire video. Because he has a little bit of like a mustache, and like he does as well. And like, he's got the kind of the...
I can grow, man.
He's got the fade.
Not right there, John. I can't do it.
Bro, I mean, Pat leveled up with his beard.
Yeah, he's got the beard game.
Right, I never did the beard.
He never did the beard. As long as I knew him before, when he moved away, like before that, he was always clean shaven. He leveled up with... I mean, the beard is where it's at. I mean, what I mean, come on.
If I could do it, dude, I'd do it. I can't. I got a mustache and some chin.
He hasn't shaved in like a month.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife is an 11, and I didn't get it by my chiseled abs.
It was the beard.
It was the beard. Yeah.
What's this dude's name again?
Andrew Schultz.
Okay,
Andrew Schultz.
I know who it is. I just don't recognize
him. I can see it now.
Okay. It's not an insult by any means. He's hilarious, handsome guy.
I'll take it.
Yeah, useful. I mean, useful, exactly. Yes.
So he's got those high water
Free Pants that are popular on now.
Oh.
Very, very funny. He's like one of the top comedians on the planet right now.
Okay.
Yeah, he runs in the same circle as like, you know, Joe Rogan and Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer and all those guys.
Nice, man.
Hilarious, dude. You should go as him for Halloween. You would have to do nothing.
Maybe I will.
I would never let Judd do that to his head. That hard line look. And it's all hilarious. He has your exact haircut, except from here down is a hard line. Like
it's bad. It's not good.
It's skin. It's like from hair to skin.
It's weird.
Nowadays, it's
no, Judd, your hair is phenomenal. Do not do the Andrew Schultz, but I mean, whatever.
Thanks, man.
It's very strange. It's very strange. But he's hilarious and he's funny and he has things on Netflix you can watch. But talk about some of these songs on this new record. It's funny that you mentioned too. Like, I don't know if you said you had. Not alternative versions or maybe you said you had extra songs or whatever. I was texting Pat, like there's like so much room to take some of these songs, not to different levels, because I think they're all really fantastic, but like maybe just alternate versions of them. But talk about some of these songs, you know, like I said earlier, there's She's on Fire, I think is that the lead single off that?
It just kind of became, yeah. And the funny thing about that song is we didn't cut that until we were up like 90% done with the record.
Correct.
And we actually put this one in place of another one that we thought was going to be one of the 10. And it just kind of became the song that people kind of latched onto. So we're like, okay, I guess that's the first single off the record.
All right. So real quick. I told this to Pat as well. We've been texting like maniacs for the past like 4 or 5 days, ever since the song or the album. Well, ever since he shared that on Instagram, because I had no idea. I was actually upset. I'm like, how do I not know that you are releasing new music? Like, what's going on? So I have a recommendation. I think this is gonna take you guys to new levels, right? So when you guys start playing shows, She's on Fire. Yeah. Uptown Girl, right? When you sing, She Must Be from Uptown, right? So like you say it like a bunch of times initially. So maybe like halfway through the song, you change the word Uptown to the city that you're in.
Fucking brilliant, man.
Right?
Yeah, it has to be a
two-syllable city. Mm-hmm. You know, Boston. Austin, can you not hear? So I had this whole picture in my head, right? So, you know, Judd, the handsome guy that he is, I understand he's married. This is not an attempt to have him connect with anybody else, but just imagine you're playing a guitar, you're singing the song, you connect with like the audience, maybe it's a girl, and you know, you say, you know, she must be from Boston, and she's just like, it's just like this whole thing. Mm-hmm. You know, or Austin, or Wilkes-Barre works, or any two-syllable city works.
It depends on it. Wilkes-Barre is tough, though, because if you're not from it, you might say Wilkes-Barre.
No, shush. You moved away a long time ago, Pat.
Quiet. John, brilliant idea, and I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. Pat, right after your guys' conversation, he brought that up to me. And it's a brilliant idea. And that, look, man, that's one of those things that we're so excited to get into. That's like the, when we start playing shows, which we will, we haven't yet, really just because we've been so consumed by making the record and then, you know, releasing the record, doing the little promotion stuff that you do to promote it. But those are those things that you do that makes so much sense, but can only kind of be done when you're putting like the performance show together, right? When you get room and we're focusing strictly on, okay, we're putting the show together. That's a brilliant idea, man. Thank you.
Please use it.
We're definitely use it. And I'm going to claim it as my own idea.
That's fine. That's fine. I hope you do.
Thanks, buddy.
No, it's just like, I mean,
hey, John never said anything. No, that's all right.
You, before the song starts, you get on stage and like, listen, this idea. It ruined the whole thing, you know. But no, they
just, like, never said this at all.
The way it, just the way it connects with the audience, right? I mean, like, I always have these, like, I'm not a musician, which I hate the fact that I can't perform anything. And at this age now, everyone's like, oh, it's never too late. I'm like, no, it's fucking too late, dude. I'm 41 years old. I've got a full-time job. I've got two kids, a wife that I actually enjoy talking to. You know, it's just not in the cards to learn something new. But so I see these things, I hear these things, I'm like, this would be amazing. Like, just, and I think that song has, like, could lend itself to be like full electric, like big drums, like real, like big guitars. Again, the way it is now is awesome. But just like, there's just like so much potential in this music. And I think that's what makes, you know, when songs are good like this, you know, there's room for those twists.
And I think that is what the live show is all about. Because like the record, just like Judd said, we recorded way too much on purpose. And the way that it came out sonically was perfect. I love the soundscape of the collection of the songs. So it came out perfect, but when it comes to the live show, that's when we get to really, really like dial every aspect in that we want. And we have big plans for that. Like we're not taking it all the way this far to just like get up there and play a show after a couple rehearsals. Mm-hmm. Like we're going to put some time into this and make sure that we're coming out hot with something that people are going to remember.
Yep.
When you really start to evolve, when you start playing them live, that's when they start taking on a different personality and you start to figure them out a little bit better. And that's going to be really fun.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, you got to come to Wilkes-Barre. Not Wilkes-Barre. Wilkes-Barre, Scranton. Scranton works. And I'm thinking of cities with two syllables.
Pittsburgh.
No, I'm saying where I am from, but close to where I'm. Pittston. We do Pittston.
You know what? Philly doesn't work.
Wait, is the staircase still in Pittston?
Bro, it's been long gone. It's like a gun shop now.
We'll tell them to bring back the staircase. We'll
do I know. That. I'm trying to think of what else. I mean, what size venues are you thinking about playing? I mean, I got connections. I remember Pat, like, he's like, oh, we're coming through town, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, is there anywhere we can play coming through? I'm like, oh, well, I'll see. But, like, the landscape has changed. I'm sure I could find somewhere to play.
Oh, we'll be talking, dude.
Wilkes-Barre, Pittston. Pittston wouldn't sound as nice, though. She must be from Pittston. That doesn't sound nice.
Yeah, but you know what? If we were there, we would do it, and it would work.
Doesn't matter.
It would work. They would go nuts.
It would work. Like, the basic idea is brilliant, and I love it, man.
The girls are throwing bras. The guys are like, yeah, that's where I'm from.
In fact, I gotta say this. Tyler's first show was a what college did
Bridges.
Like, yeah, his first show with Bridges. So I'm going back, but I'm only saying this because you brought up about throwing bras.
Was it Lycoming or Lehigh?
No, Lafayette.
Lafayette.
We played the quad at Lafayette for Tyler's first show. Yeah. So like, talk about first impressions. We roll up to like, they already put this big ass stage with a big ass sound system, and like his first show, there's all these people like, "Let's go!"
And brawls and panties being thrown.
It was every quintessential cliche. Like everything, all that.
So.
does that happen these days? Like, not even like on any level. Like, outside of a Kid Rock show. Like, I mean.
I think it can, and we'll find out real quick. But
I hope so.
Look, man, live music does something to the freaking ladies, man. I don't know. You got alcohol and you know the band on stage. I think it probably still happens today.
Well, I mean, I love live shows, right? I don't care for when bands like release live albums like on like CD or record or whatever. I just don't like, I don't want to listen to to music like that, unless I'm like literally live in the moment.
Yeah, the only way that works is like if you went to that specific show and
yeah.
you had to take that home with
you. Yeah, sure. But like, I mean, Pat knows this. I've been going to shows as long as I could go to shows. Like, I remember when I was 18, I was like, I just want to be 21, and not so I could drink, but just so I could go like to bars and listen to music. Like, you know, Pat and I were always connected because like we loved music. And, you know, he could play, I couldn't. I just loved listening and watching. But like, it's such a different world now. I don't even know what kids do these days as far as like, you know, what drags them out of their homes. And like, we can go down a different rabbit hole, which I don't want to do to you guys right now, cause we'll be here till fucking 1 o'clock in the morning. but like, you know, and we talked about COVID before too. It's like I feel like the whole entire world in general was kind of like, I don't know if it was at its peak or just like almost at its peak, right? And then that happened and just really took the air out of the balloon and like just destroyed so much. Mm-hmm. And live entertainment, musicians, people in the gig world in general, and service industry, hotels, restaurants, all that thing. What a terrible. And I think there was some positives that came out of it too. I don't want to say it was all shit. But like, as musicians, how did you guys feel at that moment when things are like, you know, the world's closing down, you know, you guys are musicians, maybe not as active as you once were, but like your not livelihood at that moment, maybe, but like this thing that you love to do is gone. How did you
feel? I can speak specifically for us at that moment in time. We were actively rehearsing. Because we had played a show, we were actively rehearsing to try to put back, and we were going to bring back Bridges, basically Bridges on a Bottle at that point. And that totally just chopped our legs out from underneath us. And yeah, I mean, what a change in the world that brought, you know. I think that was kind of the main catalyst. And then you have, you know, I just kind of a new world with a different, you know, kids nowadays. I feel bad for them because I think a lot of them don't even realize the magic that happens when you go out and you see, you know, I'm not even talking about going to see some band that sells millions of copies of their record, just going to your local music place that probably doesn't even exist anymore in most cities and towns and did, you know, 10, 15 years ago. What a magical thing that is, though, to go see live music. It's not easy to do anymore, and it's tragic.
Yeah,
really, it's freaking tragic, man.
I feel like it has to come back around.
Yeah,
I'm sure it will.
It will.
I mean, but the thing is like we're gonna have to keep fighting the fight. You know, like right. People aren't out unless there's constantly good music to go see.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I'm happy to be on the front lines of that.
You know what I did just hear, though? I did just hear that guitar sales
back up.
Is back up.
Yep.
Like from a long sort of stagnant mm-hmm. low yeah. to now like increasing yeah. at big numbers. So everything's what is like the pendulum theory, yeah. man. Everything's cyclical and like
yeah. right.
How can real music being played by real people not come back around and not excite people? I don't know.
There's a whole new generation of guitar players playing guitar in a completely new way as true. Well, you know,
yeah.
and it's I thought that everything that could come from a guitar had already been done. And then you hear these guys, what is it? Tim Henson or kid from Polyphia?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You hear stuff like that, Polyphia, you're just like, yeah. oh, okay. You can. There is a whole new frontier of like guitar stuff
and
that can be done.
That's freaking rad, man.
I'm sure that's contributing to it, and I'm happy to see it for sure as a guitar player, obviously.
Yeah. And when you guys are, you know, releasing this album, you know, and deciding to do, I think you have it available on vinyl and like physical mm-hmm. copies of stuff. Like, that's a different world too. So, mm-hmm. You have stuff for sale on your website.
Dude, people about- vinyl, it's freaking nuts. We've been selling vinyl like crazy, which is awesome. You know, I never,
I don't get know, it. I never would have thought
that sort of cut you off, John, but yeah, no. It's freaking nuts, man.
I don't get it. I hate it.
You hate vinyl?
It's stupid.
Yeah, well, people, yeah, I don't have a record player, but like people are buying the album in vinyl. So, I mean, it's all good to me. No,
I'm glad. I'm glad for you guys. Like, but I'm like, this is dumb. Like, this is like some fad. Like,
yeah.
I went out and bought a stupid record player. I don't think maybe I listened to it once. It was when my kid was born, my son. So this is looking, you know, we're talking 6 years ago, and it's not a good record player by any means. You put the record on there and it plays out of the stupid speakers in the bottom of it. Like, yeah. It's just like, oh, like, you know, like, oh, we'll take a picture with a vinyl record for Instagram. Like, look at me. Look at us assholes.
That's like, what it is.
Yeah, it's like these hipsters and like the craft beer, and I love craft beer, but like it doesn't sound better, in my opinion.
No, it doesn't sound better, man.
It sounds fucking terrible. Let's call it.
Especially like what you said, you went out and you bought like, you know, a shitty record player just to be able to play some vinyl. I do remember though, like when I was growing up, man, my dad had like this stack, right? It was like the, you know, cassette, record player on top, big ass speakers, you know, and that shit sounded really, really good.
Sure.
Now, he doesn't have it anymore, and who knows when he got rid of that, but, you know, at the same time, though, I didn't really have...
You didn't have an ear.
I didn't have anything to compare it with at the time. That's true.
Like, wow, yeah. Loud. It sounds great.
But then, look, ultimately, here's the cool thing about vinyl today, John. Nobody buys music anymore, right? People subscribe for $10 a month. They listen to whatever they want. It's cool to at least be able to sell like a physical product. Yes. Like it's at least cool that there's a demand for a physical something that you can give somebody that is yours that they can hold, you know? And that's why I like it.
Yeah. And I won't shit on it completely because like, I still up until like, I want to say probably 3 or 4 years ago, I was literally still going to our local Gallery of Sound, Joe Nardone's Gallery of Sound, buying CDs.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I couldn't find your CD that I bought back in 2004 that you guys signed was because I have a pretty good CD collection.
Mm-hmm.
Like towards the end there though, like I would literally spend, I was spending easily $200 a month. And I'm like, this is just not financially responsible. I would go in just without any purpose. I'm just going to go in there. I'm going to flip through the used section, or I might just buy something based on the cover image or whatever it might be. I'm spending $200 a month. My kid was just born. I'm like, this is financially irresponsible. And even back then when I was buying CDs, I would buy them and I still have them. They're in my collection. They're unwrapped.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, they're unwrapped because I started listening to like Spotify and things like that. But like, even before that, I would buy CDs. I would put them on my computer, rip them, and then put it on my iPod. And I had one of those big, the classic iPods. They were 164 gigs. So I could fit thousands upon thousands of songs because I still wanted to support the musicians, buy the records, buy the CDs, and things like that. But I got to a point where I'm like, this is just terrible. Like, I just can't. It's like feed my kids or buy CDs. It's like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But when I'm out,
kids, man, you know,
when I'm out though, like I'll try and buy a t-shirt or a CD or something because I still want to support, you know, musicians because I think it's so important.
Yeah. But, that's true. That's true.
So
I appreciate that. Yeah. But that's the thing. It's like, look, I mean, even back in the late 2000s with Bridges, it's that's when everything changed and became digitalized, and the product, you know, record companies were scrambling as to, okay, how do we make money because we can't sell a physical product anymore, you know? Music has changed, and you kind of have to just anymore make music because you love to make it. And your music can be used as sort of an avenue to connect with people, for people to get to know you, but you're not going to make a lot, no matter how great you are, you're not going to make a lot of money on your music itself, right? You know?
So in this new digital age, unfortunately, we're all getting older. I'm not sure of your ages. I know how old Pat is, roughly. You know, we grew up with, you know, CDs, and we or even cassettes when I was younger. Cassettes, CDs, you know, we saw the resurgence of vinyl. But, like, how do you guys feel about, you know, as musicians, you know, creating music and selling it? Like, what are your thoughts on how people consume it? Because I know for me, like, I love a record that, you know, song 1 through 10, and it's recorded in a way that's how it should be listened to and kind of flows that way. Like, how at your ages do you navigate this new landscape of, you know, a digital landscape, releasing singles, and it's not so much more records. It's like this whole, like, weird algorithm thing, type of thing. Do you guys care about that? Or are you just like, no, we're going to write music, record it as an album and release it, and then whatever happens, happens.
Well, that I'll start, and then, I mean, that's a really good question, man. I want to hear everybody's sort of take on that. But that's how we did this one, is we didn't care. We know all that, right? But if we're going to start a new band, a new project, we wanted to make a full record, and we wanted to make something that we feel like people can listen from song 1 to song 10, be drawn in, and it sort of takes them on this ride, right? That's what we wanted to do. I don't know if people connect to music that way anymore. But I'll be honest with you. I mean, just before our podcast tonight, we were talking about, you know, we already have the plan on the next record and how we're going to do that and how we're going to promote it and how we're going to record it. And part of that conversation is, you know, probably the first couple tracks that we do are going to be more like single releases, right? And then you release a couple singles, and you release an EP, and then you release a couple more, and then you release an LP. And so, you know, that's sort of the new equation. But this record, we just decided to do it like this because that's really no regard for the way people are listening to music or digesting music. This is the way that we wanted to do it. So that's, but I, who wants to go next?
I mean, we all grew up in the album era, and I love albums. It's like it's a piece of work, and it's like a piece of art. And, but that's not how the audience is consuming music. And people just don't have the attention span for it anymore. The attention span is gone. I mean, as a producer, I do mostly singles for people, some EPs. I rarely do albums. I wanted to do an album here, and it, you know, it was everything I thought it would be, but unfortunately that's just not, I wish albums were the thing, you know, that people understood an album, but I don't know if it's that they don't understand it or they just don't have the attention span for it, but it's not, as of right now, that's not how people are consuming music.
Yeah, I'll add to that, just that you want your product to be absorbed by as many people as possible. You want to share it, but you also want to stay relevant. And staying relevant now means constantly pushing more product.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's content.
That's the balancing act that we're in. Yeah. It's like, we want to make an album. We want to do like this epic album, but at the same time, like, we got to stay relevant.
And also, man, it costs, let's be honest, it costs a lot of money to make a record, even though, you know, Tyler's in the band, he's doing it, but like the cost to have it professionally mixed and mastered, and the cost to get it into vinyl and the merch and the distribution, and I mean, whatever you do, it costs a lot of money. So it's like, you know, the singles route probably makes more financial sense, but we still wanted to do it this way. What do you think, brother?
Coming out with an album, there was no other option.
Yeah,
we always wanted to do it, all of us.
Yeah, and I like, I wholeheartedly agree with that. Like, I'm an album guy myself. I prefer that, you know, musicians create bodies of work like that with that in mind, rather than just throwing 10 songs or 12 songs together. And I appreciate that. I do think that there's not as large of an audience for it as there used to be, but there still is an audience out there. So I kind of like that we have that option. Obviously, that option's still there, but we also have the option that, like, if we're going to start working on our next project and we got these first two songs that are hot and pretty much done, I like that we have the ability to put them out there, you know, and have people be like, you know, that's kind of normal for them. Like, they're going to be in and out anyway. So, like, if we have new material, why wait? Yeah. You know, and if you do want to wait, do that intentionally. Have, you know, a handful of songs that are, you know, the single route, the EP route, and then save the stuff that fits the body of work that you're creating. It's cool to have that option. It sucks that albums aren't as alive as they used to be, but I think it's cool to have the option.
Yeah, we're trying to figure it out, man. We have the whole next album already written, so we'll figure out how we're gonna do it. You know, whatever makes the most sense, we'll do it that way, man.
Yeah, I think they call it like a waterfall now. So you just release single after single, but like it's there's pros and cons, right? There's pros, you know, that you can release a single every 6 weeks or whatever the cycle might be. And maybe the song is not received well by your audience. It's gone. Here's a new song and they love it. Like there's pros and cons, right? But I mean, we're of the old school generation where like that's how we bought music. That's how we consumed it. We were forced to. It's like, here's a CD. Like, yeah, you can skip it, but here's a record. Listen through, you know, 1 through 4, flip it over, whatever. It's you know, obviously times change, things change, and we can't be those. Obviously, we're not boomers, but we can't be those guys shaking the stick in the air saying like, oh, back in my day, this is how we.
Right.
We have to adapt. We gotta kind of. Go with the flow, but I'm really happy you guys, you know, did what you did. And there's also, you know, you're releasing an album, but you're also releasing content. I think you have a single for She's on Fire, right? And you have some other videos as well, kind of like available, you know, or on the way.
What we basically decided to do is like, we're going to release the record, but we're going to basically release little videos, little snippets of other songs on the record. And that's how we're going to kind of utilize social media and stuff and give people little, some of it's behind the scenes of making the record. Some of it's just little things that we did. But yeah, I mean, our content is really just kind of like little video pieces of the overall project itself. And then the She's on Fire thing, like, we just basically went to a place called the Forum right in Harrisburg, where it's kind of like our central location. We had a contact, a buddy of ours that kind of, what does he run the place or works there or something?
Yeah, he helps manage the symphony, and that's where the Harrisburg Symphony plays. So
yeah,
we had that connect there. And I mean, obviously, you can see in the video, it's gorgeous.
Beautiful.
But that was literally just like, okay, we're just going to make a little kind of performance thing. But that ended up being kind of like a more of a full sort of video. So we put that out there. But that, you know, our equation has kind of just been like, release little content with some of the other songs sort of around She's on Fire as the main single so far. And then we have a plan for what we think is going to be the second single off the record. And we hooked up with a music PR company out of England, actually. We talked to a bunch of different ones, but we chose one from England because in the UK, they still value bands. I mean, bands are still a thing. So it was really important to us to kind of choose somebody that felt the same way that we do about stuff. And they've been helping us kind of connect some dots and things. And so yeah, the She's on Fire thing, we're on like a 6-week plan with that. And then we're going to move on to the next one, whatever we choose, and do another round with that and just kind of keep going, man, and record little content videos in the meantime.
Very cool. Let me listen to the album again. And I want to pick the second single and see if it matches with what you have on deck.
Yeah, man, let's hear it.
Yeah. So.
Oh, you did it. Yeah. You said
no. Let me do it again. Let me listen again. Cause I've got songs. I have songs that my nipples got hard over. Like I said, yeah. So let me give it another.
What made the nipples hard? Yeah, come on. You know.
I didn't tell you. I'm sorry.
it doesn't have to, don't think in terms of single, just tell us in terms of what made you feel that way.
Firestorm. She's on fire.
Yep.
Was there another one? I mean, honestly, it's stuff that you've kind of like teased already. Like it's, you know,
we have to give you an opportunity to dive in though, because I remember from the days in the apartment, this was one of your favorite things to do. Like,
yes,
it would be wasted long after everyone else had dispersed for the night, talking about records that are out and picking what the singles should have been, where they fucked up, you know, what the next one might be like. And that was one of your favorite things to do. I remember that. So I'll be curious.
Or I try and call it. I'd be like, yeah, this is the next one. I'd be right a lot.
Well, yeah. I want to hear it because we'll see. We'll bounce it off what we think and what our PR company thinks. And we'll see what's up, man.
PR company's got nothing on me, bro.
It's funny, man. Those meetings, because of like the time difference.
Yeah.
Like the meetings for us are early in the morning, and for them, yep, it's like later in the day. You know, and it's funny. But I think we made the best choice. They get us. They know. They believe in the music. They love the band, and so I'm so happy we ended up going with them.
Yeah, that's great. I'll wrap things up real quick. I don't want to keep you too long.
Mm-hmm.
What are your plans for this year? Obviously, the record's out. I'm not going to try and say the name. Amaranthin?
You got it, man. Yes. Never ending, undying.
Amaranthin.
It means never ending, undying, and that's just kind of how we feel about our music in general. That's why we went with that. Yep.
And Feels Like Fire, where did that name come from?
Feels Like Fire is just, so it started as kind of, we went through a bunch of different names. We had our list, you know, we did the normal band thing where it's like, what do you feel about this? What do you feel about this? But Feels Like Fire is really the way that I feel when I get together with these guys and we play music. To me, it just feels like fire. And the name is like that. That's our band name, you know? So that's sweet. What we want. Yeah.
And what are your plans for 2024? I mean, it's early. It's, I was going to say, what's February? Recording February 28th. This will come out like March, mid-March. Any big plans for 2024 you can share?
Yeah. So definitely. I think our plans for 2024 are basically going to be a couple singles off the record, keep promoting it, late spring, summer, start playing some shows, do that whole thing. And then we're going to get right back in the studio and start recording some more. Cause like I said, we have 20, 25 songs that are written ready for the next record that we're going to kind of consolidate down to what, you know, another full length record amount, and then figure out how we're going to promote it, whether we're going to release singles or whatever, but it's going to be a big year for Feels Like Fire. We're going to just continue on and keep doing what we're doing and, keep promoting Amaranthin, man.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, where can people find you at?
FeelsLikeFireMusic.com is probably the best hub. Our YouTube, everything is at Feels Like Fire Music. So anywhere online at Feels Like Fire Music, YouTube, and all that other stuff, all the social media stuff.
Nice.
Yep.
Well, guys, I'm so happy that you've come together to create this album and this band. And, you know, Pat, I love you to death. I will always respect you and follow you. And by association, like, I mean, like, I have a connection to you guys too from way back in the day. Like, it's just been a great story to follow. And I'm so happy that you guys are together and doing this. And I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys do next.
Appreciate that. Thank you so much. Man. Yeah. And look, John, thank you for just being a lover of all things music and doing your podcast, man. We're really happy to be here with you tonight. Thanks for taking the time for us, man.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time, and hopefully I'll see you guys soon. I really do. I think we can set something up. Yeah. We got to set it up in a two syllable city.
Yeah. And we should follow. Look, we're talking about 2024. Let's follow up in like 6 months or something. We'll see where we're at, man.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Feels Like Fire. Thank you so much. Follow them on all socials. Download their music. You know, subscribe on Spotify. Follow Spotify, whatever the fuck that is now these days.
Yeah. But
you guys are awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time, and hopefully I'll see you soon.
Thanks, man. Thanks, man. We'll see you, John. Thanks, brother.
Later.
Thanks, bud.